In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that the census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judah, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register while Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wondering love. Whole morning stars together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King and peace to men on earth. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ enters in.
While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her first son, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes. But little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. I love you, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and take us to heaven to live with thee there.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men whom his favor rests."
Hark, the herald angels sing. peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. Joyful ye nations, rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory
when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word, censoring what they had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains. Repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. Repeat, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love.
But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exaltation, sing all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. born this happy morning, Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing, oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. The hills and everywhere go, tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching for silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heaven there shone a holy light. Go, tell it on the hills and everywhere, go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is Lord. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed the Savior's birth. Go tell it. Tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
What a wonderful job these incredible mountain kids have done. You can keep it, yes. I tell you, these beautiful angels and having to wrangle sheep, those shepherds, man, they had quite the time, I think. Man, God is good. So much fun, they don't want to leave. Isn't that what we want church to be? Amen. Come on. And John's trying to find one. There you go, buddy. Perfect. Perfect, perfect. Oh, man. God is good. Amen? Amen. God is good. Man, we're so excited to celebrate with you all the birth of our Savior this morning. At this time, Bart is actually going to come, and he is going to sing a special song this morning. It wasn't his child. So as he comes and gets ready, you get ready to listen.
He was a man, she was his wife. And late one winter night, he knelt by her as she gave birth. It wasn't his child. It wasn't his child. Yet still he took him as his own. As he watched him grow, it brought him joy. He loved that boy, but it wasn't his child. It wasn't his child. And like a father, he was strong and kind and good. And I believe he did his best. It wasn't easy for him, but he did all he could. His son was different from the rest. It wasn't his child. Wasn't his child. And soon the boy became a man. He took his father's hand, and soon the world would all know why it wasn't his child. Wasn't his child. And like his father, he was strong and kind and good. And I believe he did his best. It wasn't easy for him, but he did all. He grew up with his hands in wood, and he died with his hands in wood. He was her man, she was his wife. Late one winter night, he knelt by her and she gave birth. Wasn't his child. was God's child.
Come on, wasn't that good? Man, powerful message. I love that song. That is my favorite Christmas song every time of the year. And I know some people that hate that song because they go, what do you mean, did Mary know? Well, let me put you to rest. Yes, Mary knew, okay? She knew, but that's not the point of the song, all right? Not the point of the song. I absolutely love Christmas. I love Christmas season. I love celebrating with all of you the birth of our Savior. You're like, well, why is Christmas so important? You see, there are two things in the life of Jesus that are essential to our belief in who he is. The first one is his birth. Because if Jesus didn't come as the Son of God, born of a virgin to be fully God and fully man, he would not have the power to save us from our sin. He would just be like another human like you and I, and he would have no power or authority to save us. The second important part of Jesus's life, the most vital, is his death and resurrection, right? Because the birth was the promise that the Savior was going to come. His death and resurrection is the fulfillment of that promise. It is a wonderful and a beautiful story. But maybe you are like some other people, and I've been this way in the past as well, that you hear the story of the birth of Jesus, right? Our kids just did a wonderful job reenacting and sharing the birth of Jesus. You may be thinking like, man, that is a powerful story, but how do I know it's true? Anybody been there before? How do I know that this is real, that Mary really was a virgin, that she didn't just go off and leave Joseph and get pregnant? And how do I know that God spoke to Joseph and all of these things? Well, here's the great news. That just like in Jesus' death and resurrection, there were witnesses. 500 people saw Jesus alive after he resurrected from the dead. There are countless of people in this birth story of Jesus that recognize he is the Son of God. And some of the most important people in that story, I believe, are the wise men. And that's what we're going to kind of look at today as we look at the birth of a king. We've been in a series we started last week talking specifically about the birth of Jesus. We're going to wrap that up next Sunday on our Christmas Day service. It's going to be super special. We'll sing some Christmas hymns. We'll have a short message, a time of communion, just to celebrate the birth of Jesus because it is so vital and important to our faith and our belief in God. And another crazy fact for you, Christmas will not fall on a Sunday until the year 2033. 11 years. So I encourage you to come this year to worship. 10 a.m. will be done by 10:45 so you can continue your other Christmas traditions, but to worship the Lord. But I want to jump into the Word of God this morning and look at the birth of a king, who Jesus is, and how the wise men came and show us that the birth of Jesus really is what it says that it is. Starting in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, it'll be up on the screen. It says, this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. And as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. If you want to know why Jesus came, we see it right here in the story of his birth. He is coming to save the people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded, took Mary as his wife, but did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born. And Joseph named him Jesus. That is the birth story of Jesus. But then we jump into the story of the wise men. And this is where I believe the wise men give credibility and validity to this story that we just read. It says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. And about that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews who saw his star, or we saw his star as it rose, and we've come to worship him? King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, and as was everyone in Jerusalem. So he called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked them, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel." So then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. And he told them to go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too. And after this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. Here's the awesome part. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house, saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And when it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. And next week, we're going to talk about the importance of King Herod and how we see the rise of a new king, King Jesus, in history. But today, we're going to talk specifically about the birth and the wise men. There's a guy, you may know this name, you may not, by the name of Francis Collins. Francis Collins is perhaps one of the greatest scientists of our generation. Francis Collins is a medical doctor. He has a PhD in physical chemistry. From 1993 to 2008, he was the director of the Human Genome Project, where he was in charge of mapping out the entire human genome, all of the DNA in the human genome. After that, he became the director of the National Institute of Health from 2009 to 2021, being the longest director of the NIH in history. And currently today, he is the science advisor to President Joe Biden. He is easily one of the greatest scientists in our lifetime. The Human Genome Project that he oversaw is quoted as being one of the most ambitious and important scientific endeavors in human history. If you don't know what the Human Genome Project is, basically when they mapped out all of the DNA, they were then able to start to see traits in people, right, as they're born in genetics, and they can look and say, hey, these are the conditions that people can be predisposed to things like type 2 diabetes, right? Predisposed to things like autism and Asperger's, predisposed to things even like, hey, you're going to have black hair. You're going to have brown hair. You're going to have these weird type feet that other people don't have. All of this kind of stuff was because of the Human Genome Project that you can then predict how the DNA is going to work in human history. And Francis Collins, when he was in graduate school, just like every other scientist that you ever think of, that you've ever probably talked to, he was a self-professed atheist. He didn't think that there was any need for God. He had his rationality. He had logic in his side. He had science and evolution and all of these things. He had mathematics that he could figure out and solve any problem that he wanted. So he considered himself an atheist until one day in medical school, he had a patient ask him what he believed. And this is where he began searching for answers to questions that math and reason could not conclude. Questions like, why am I here? What's the meaning of life? If creation has a beginning, then who or what created it? And in a way, I think Francis Collins wasn't unlike the wise men in Jesus' time. He wasn't so far off from the Magi that we see in this story, because when we think about the Magi, when we think about the wise men, I don't know about you, but I always grew up thinking of some like crazy wizard, some magician, some sorcerer like Merlin, right? Who they just came and they had lots of money and wealth and they were some foreign religion and they came over to see Jesus. But that's not it at all. You see, these wise men were actually ancient scientists. That's what they did. So they studied all the time, all of the different religions of the world at the current time. They would study medicine, natural sciences, and even astronomy and astrology. I truly believe that if the wise men lived today, they would have considered themselves atheists. They were simply searching for truth and meaning in the world and the knowledge around them. They believed whatever truths that science led them to, and little did they know that science was going to lead them to the one who is truth. See, being from Babylon, the wise men would have been familiar with Judaism. They would have studied the text in the Old Testament and all of these things, and they would have come across the prophecies of Jesus, right, of the Messiah, over 300 of them in the Old Testament. And they start to do some research, and then all of a sudden, supernaturally through the Holy Spirit, there's this star that comes in the sky, and as astronomers, they're like, this star's not supposed to be here. What's going on? So they look at the astronomy, they look at the science, they look at the scriptures and the text of the Old Testament, and they see that the Old Testament actually says that a star, meaning the Messiah, is going to be born in Bethlehem. And they're like, man, we got to figure this out. Right? They're scientists. They're trying to search for the truth. We got to find out if what this text is saying is true or not. Because right now, you look at the stars, you look at all everything around you, everything is pointing to this being true. So they took a huge journey of faith. The wise men traveled over 2 years to get to Jesus. Oftentimes when we see the nativity scenes, right, we think that there were three wise men that were there the night that Jesus was born. That is not true. We don't know how many wise men there were. The Bible doesn't tell us. But we also know that it took them over 2 years to actually get there. Jesus would have been about 2 years old when the wise men came. But they knew that they needed to find the truth. They were on a journey of faith. And maybe you're in the same place as Francis Collins was, where you are searching for answers. You're on this journey of faith. Or maybe you're even like some of the wise men. You're on a journey of faith to find out if Jesus really is the Son of God. And maybe you've been asking yourself questions like, why am I here? What do I believe about God? Maybe you've asked yourself, well, why is my spouse so interested in this guy named Jesus, but I just haven't seemed to really think about it too much? See, if you're on this faith journey, but you haven't found the destination yet, you're in good company because it took 2 years for the wise men to get there. And we've all been there. Everybody who has professed Jesus as their Savior has been where you are. We have been on the journey to find out, is this guy named Jesus really true? Isn't a single person who calls themselves a Christian who has not asked themselves if Jesus really is who the Bible claims him to be. It's what sets Christians apart from anyone else, is that they did not stop searching for the truth. I find it interesting that Jesus, the Son of God, the one who was prophesied about over 300 times in the Old Testament, was born in a town littered with religious leaders, right? If you read the story again about the wise men, King Herod, he goes, he calls all of the religious teachers of the law, all of the Jews. They're in Jerusalem. It's like the center point of Judaism. And he calls them all together. And he's asking these religious people, hey, what are these wise men saying? Is what they're saying actually true? Like, well, when you look at the scriptures, it looks like, yeah, the Savior of the world is supposed to be born in Bethlehem, and a star is supposed to be there, all of this kind of stuff. It all kind of points up to this. You see, these religious leaders were in the same town that the Savior was born. But we don't see in scripture where they went to worship Jesus. We don't see where they went to search for the truth. Why is that? It was atheist scientists from across the world that came to visit him. It's because the religious scholars knew in their head who the Messiah was supposed to be, but they stopped searching with their heart. The wise men, they knew their proximity to Jesus would be defined by their heart and not their head. Their closeness to Jesus would be defined by if they truly believed who he was, not just knowledge about the Bible and about who he was as a person. Your proximity to Jesus is defined the same way. It's defined by your heart, not your head, and not your logic. This is what faith is all about, right? You can hear the story of Jesus' birth year after year. You can know the story. You can quote it to your children. But if you don't seek out Jesus with the core of who you are, none of that matters. Francis Collins knew that his head knowledge of Jesus would only get him so far. And it took him about 2 years before he finally came to the point, to the conclusion, that he needed Jesus in his life. And he says this about the moment that he decided to place his faith in Jesus as the Son of God and save him from his sins. He says, reason alone cannot prove the existence of God. Faith is reason plus revelation. What is he saying? Faith is your head plus your heart. And the revelation part requires one to think with the spirit as well as with the mind. You have to hear the music, not just read the notes on the page. And ultimately, a leap of faith is required. We all come to the same place in our life and in our relationship with God, is we have to come from a time where, yes, we know what we know about God in our head, but we have to believe it in our heart. And I truly believe that somebody needs to hear this truth this morning. Not only is your relationship with Jesus defined by your heart and not your head, but your relationship with Jesus is defined by your faith in him, not the religion of your family. It's your faith in believing who he is. Jesus's birth is miraculous for a reason, because God wants you to know that only Jesus can give you meaning and purpose in your life. Only Jesus has the power to save your soul from hell. Only Jesus can offer you life and life to the fullest. That's why it's such a miraculous birth, to capture our attention that this is the Savior. I want to encourage you this morning to not be like all of the religious people in Bethlehem who were close to Jesus in proximity, but did not seek to know him. And what we see from the story of the wise men and the birth of Jesus is this, that when you find the truth about who Jesus is, when you continue to search, when you continue to dig and say, I gotta find out if this is real or not, and you see Jesus, you open the door, you walk into the house, and Jesus is there, you worship him with joy. You worship him with joy. That's what the wise men did. It says, and the star that they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem and went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were what? They were filled with joy. If you meet a joyless Christian, there may be some thoughts going in your head about how much they have really given their lives to Jesus. Because these wise men, the moment they saw 2-year-old Jesus, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. They opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You see, the wise men didn't just worship Jesus because he had saved them from their sins, right? They knew this was a part of Jesus. There were 3 things that had to happen in order for the Messiah to come. One is that they had to be born of a virgin, because they had to be fully human. And the only way you can be fully human is to be birthed from your mother, right? The second thing that they had, that the Messiah had to be, is he had to be completely sinless. And in order to be completely sinless, he had to be God, which is why he was conceived from the Holy Spirit. And so they come and they see Jesus meets all 3 of these needs, that he is a sinless child. And you're like, well, but Jesus is only 2 years old. What do you mean that he's sinless? Have you ever met a 2-year-old? Anybody? Have you met my son? That kid is not sinless. I could tell you yesterday, oh my gosh. It's already, Kinsey, it's already coming up in a sermon. Where's she at? I don't know where she's at. Addie? Yesterday was the craziest day as a parent I have ever had in my life, okay? I am on kid duty. By myself. Kinsey's making Christmas cookies that you all are gonna enjoy, and there have been blood, sweat, and tears poured over these cookies, so you better enjoy them. I'm in the living room watching the kids, and Cordell is doing 2-year-old things, and he's putting coat hangers on the Christmas tree, right? Well, then he goes to pull a coat hanger off, and the hanger gets wrapped around the Christmas lights. And I'm sitting on the couch holding Sophia in my arms. She's just sweet. She's adorable. She's just laying there loving life. And all of a sudden I look over and I see this Christmas tree starting to tip and tip. And I'm thinking, kid, you better let go. And he doesn't let go. And so I jump up out of the couch as it's crashing down on him. Cordell falls over, hits his head on the side of the couch. I rip the Christmas tree off of him. And as I rip the Christmas tree off of him and go back like this, So does Sophia. And she goes flying through the air. She flips in the air, lands right on her face. And now we got a kid crying under a Christmas tree. We got a kid crying who just got flown through the air like a football. It was crazy. I tell you all this to say, you know how many times we told Cordell, don't put coat hangers on the Christmas tree? The kid is not sinless. So the minute that the wise men showed up to the house of Jesus and they saw this perfect 2-year-old boy who minded his manners, who never said anything bad, who never hit his siblings, who never did any of this stuff, they're like, hey, this is the newborn king. It has to be. They didn't worship Jesus because of what Jesus had done for them. They worshiped Jesus simply because of who he was. Simply because he was the newborn king, they came and worshiped him. They worshiped him with offering and with praise, but then they also gave gifts. Have you ever asked yourself the importance of the gifts that the wise men brought? Like, why is it gold, frankincense, and myrrh? I would love to have some gold, right? Frankincense and myrrh, I'm like, I don't know what that is. I can do without it, right? I don't know. But they are all so important to proclaiming Jesus as the new king. See, all three of these gifts were extremely expensive gifts. And the wise men traveled with them. Get this. The wise men traveled with these gifts for this new king for 2 years without ever knowing if they were actually going to meet the king. Right? They were on a faith journey to say, hey, we just got to find the truth. I don't know if he's going to be there. These texts, these religious texts could be completely wrong. This star could be an anomaly, but they still had the faith to bring the gifts to worship Jesus when they got there. They're equipped to worship. And so they come and these gifts were given out of worship to Jesus. You see, gold was important because whenever a new king or a new heir was born, they would be gifted with gold as a sign of their kingship. So the wise men come and the first thing they do is they declare Jesus as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They give him gold. Confirmation that he is from the line of David, that he will sit on the throne forever. Frankincense, what's the deal with frankincense, right? I think of Frankenstein when I think of frankincense, right? And I'm sure it smells awful. But frankincense was actually a very expensive gift that was given to deities. Whenever you would come and you would worship a deity, right? These were wise men. They were well-versed in other religions, that this is what they would give. So as wise men who had studied other religions, they were confirming that Jesus was the one true Son of God conceived by the Holy Spirit. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the Son of God. And look at this last one. This one just blew me away. When they gave myrrh, what's the importance of myrrh? You know, during that time, when somebody would die, you would have to do the embalmment process as a family, right? And as a family, we didn't have all of these great medical advances that we have today. Basically, what you would do is that you would just stick tons of perfume in the tomb and hope that the smell of the perfume overrides the smell of the person, okay? And so myrrh was a very expensive gift. It was a perfume, a fragrance that was given when somebody passed away, when somebody was deceased. And so it was this gift that was given as confirmation that Jesus was going to die for the sins of the world. The wise men found the truth that this man is the Messiah. They confirmed that Jesus was who the wise men were hoping that he would be, the one and only Son of God who had come to save the world from sin. So this morning, as we remember the reason for the season, which is to celebrate the birth of Christ, I want to ask you this morning, what gift have you brought to worship Jesus with? What gift have you brought to worship Jesus with? I'm not talking about taking up a special offering this morning, okay? And you have to give some financial gift. That's not what I'm talking about, right? I'm talking about your heart. Where are you at in your relationship with God? Have you been truly searching for truth about who Jesus is. If you haven't, if it hasn't even been on your radar, I encourage you to start asking these questions. Why am I here? Why did God make me? Is there a God? How does all of this work together? And if there is a God, is this the guy that it is? Start that journey. But if you've started that faith journey, searching for the truth of who Jesus is, I want to encourage you not to stop. Continue seeking Jesus with your head and your heart. Because the greatest gift you could ever give Jesus is your heart to worship him and to serve him for all of eternity. Maybe you're at the place where it's time to stop keeping Jesus at arm's distance. It's time to stop living out your faith through your parents or through your spouse. Just like the wise men entered the house that Jesus was at, you have entered the house of the Lord today. And it's time to give your life to Jesus and to worship him. So if y'all will bow your head and close your eyes with me this morning. I believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking to many of us today that we just need to reconfirm our commitment to our Savior, Jesus. That Jesus, you don't just have my head, you have my heart. You have my soul, the core of who I am. I am going to worship you and serve you, not because of what I get, not because I get salvation, not because I get eternal life, not because I get material blessings, but simply because you are worthy to be praised. Because you are Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. You are the one who came that can save humanity. You are worthy of our praise. And this morning, maybe the Lord has been speaking to you and you're like, man, Pastor Brandon, everything you have been saying about searching and knowing reason and rationality and all of these things and logic, man, I agree with you and I've been there. But now it's time to take the step of faith, to go into the house and to worship the Lord. And if that's you this morning, if you want to make a commitment to recognize Jesus as being who he says that he is, who this Bible says that he is, you just have to believe it in your heart. Jesus, you are the Son of God who has saved me from my sins. Restore my life, forgive me of the wrongs I have done, and help me to serve you and worship you. I promise you that when you do that, you will experience a joy like you have never experienced before. Man, life will become more joyful. Things will become more fulfilling and abundant because Jesus, the creator of your soul, is on your side. So as we close out in prayer before Jimmy comes to lead us in announcements, God, I just pray right now for each and every one of us, whether we are followers of you or not, that you will lead us closer to your truth, that the birth of the King has occurred, and we are here to worship and to proclaim that name. We thank you that you came to live a sinless and perfect life, to die on that cross so we could have salvation and victory over sin. We recognize that we cannot do it on our own, Jesus. We need you to save us and to deliver us. And our life serving you will be better than any life serving ourselves. In your name, Jesus, amen.